www.thebaptistcommunity.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. We're in our next week, the next step of our life-changing conversations series. And this morning, we're kind of getting to the part of the series where it really talks about what it means to share the gospel. What is it when we talk about the good news of Jesus? What is it we should be sharing with people? That is one of our great hopes, is that we would see an increase in that in our life, and that God would use open doors to opportunities for us to share the gospel. But when that door opens, what is it we're supposed to share? And it's something we often assume we know, but it's also something that when we assume we know it, we can find ourselves in these odd circumstances where we're going, I'm not really sure what it is I should share. So we want to kind of hone in on that a little bit this morning. And I like the word sharing. Sharing is kind of the key idea here. And I want you to think about that word, if you could, just for a moment, because to share something implies that you have something that someone else wants or needs, and you're willing to give it to them for their sake, for their benefit. Right? And I think that's a good picture of what it is we're supposed to do with the gospel. We should never force it upon somebody. They're going to have to choose for themselves whether to accept it or not, but still, we do have something, according to scriptures, according to what Jesus says, we do have something that other people need. We have something that other people need. The gospel, the good news about Jesus, is the only way that someone will come to salvation or come to have eternal life, according to the scriptures. And we have to offer that to them, to share it with them. Now, unfortunately, we can be kind of selfish people at times. We're hesitant to share with others in lots of things. Last night, my kids came home with a lot of candy. A lot of candy. I mean, piles and piles of it. And then it was weird because two of my girls, they were sitting at the table and they were taking their candy and they were sorting it out into piles of different kinds that they had. You know, some things they had like 13, 15 of, some things they only had one or two. I don't know why they were doing that, because as soon as they were done, they were going to throw it all back in a big bag anyway. But they just felt it needed to do that. I guess they wanted to see how much of each thing that they came away with. And then, once they both had their candy in piles, the wheeling and dealing began, you know? Like, I'll give you my Sour Patch Kids for your Hershey's bar. Well, not the big one, only the little one. No, that's not fair. Blah, 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 back and forth, right? Just wheeling and dealing, negotiating. And then, you know, Sherry and I, of course, we didn't go trick-or-treating. So we're like, hey, can I have one of those? And they're like, I don't know. I only got like 8 of those. Okay? Right? We can be stingy. We can be protective about our candy. They were willing to share, but only maybe certain things that weren't their favorite kinds or things they had way too much of. Well, listen, sharing the gospel, fortunately, is not like sharing Halloween candy or money or our goods or our stuff. Because when we do share something we have with someone, it means we have less of it for ourselves. But when it comes to sharing the gospel, no matter how often we share the gospel, we will never have less of it for ourselves. That's an amazing thing about what God has done. We can give and give and give, and we're never going to run out of the good news about Jesus for ourselves. So there's no need to be stingy with the gospel. Okay? We don't have to hold back on that. We should share it. We should share it with anyone that we can. Sharing the gospel, though, doesn't always come naturally for us. And maybe for most of us, we would say, yeah, that can be, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how comfortable I feel with that. But here's the thing, it gets easier when we're well prepared. And Peter wrote about this in 1 Peter 3:15. There aren't a lot of passages to look up and turn to today. You can follow along here. There's just a couple of verses that we'll look at. So it may be easiest just to follow along. But Peter wrote this, 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Okay, always be prepared to make a defense. And maybe defense isn't the greatest word choice there because it sounds like we have to defend ourselves to somebody. But basically, it's saying, look, if there are people who are wondering, if there are people who want to know why you have this hope, why you have this great hope that was within you, be prepared to share that. Always be prepared. And he goes on to say, yeah, do it with gentleness and respect. So we always want to keep that in mind. But we need to be prepared. Think about that. It's actually an instruction to us in God's word through what Peter wrote that we are supposed to be prepared to share about Jesus. So this morning is really all about being prepared, preparing ourselves. What is it that we should share when God opens the door? Okay, and I think there's four things that are really helpful for us to be prepared to share. And the first thing that we should be prepared to share is our story. So be prepared to share your story. Be prepared to share your story. You may remember the story of Paul in Acts and how he came to encounter Jesus. I mean, he was somebody who was a persecutor of Christians, right? He was on his way to round up some more Christians in another city, and on the road there, on the way there, Jesus appeared to him. He spoke to him, he blinded him for a couple of days, and then he used Paul to become one of the most prominent people in history to spread the gospel to other people. Paul recounted his story in the scriptures and talked about different aspects of his story at different times throughout the New Testament. He had a powerful story, but so do you. So do you. You too have a story of how you came to be a follower of Jesus. Now, it might not be as dramatic as Paul's. I would say it's not as dramatic as Paul's, but it's no less miraculous and it's no less important. So how did you come to be a follower of Jesus? That's a story that you have to share, that you can share with other people. Now, what's really cool about sharing your story is that it is always something that no one else can deny or really even question for you. Now, they might argue with you about the Bible. They might disagree with you over church beliefs. They could question your theological perspectives, your religious views, or even your practices in church. But the one thing they cannot refute is the experience of Jesus at work in your life. Your story, if you think about that, your story might be the most powerful tool that you have. So when it comes to your story of how you came to be a follower of Christ, can you tell it? And can you tell it well? It's the best story you're going to have to tell somebody. So it's really, really important you can do it well. Here's a little guide to help you think through how you can maybe present your story. This is not the only way, but just a guide in case you haven't thought about that before. And so I just used it this way. Tell them your best story. And here's what I mean by your best story. First of all, tell them your story before Christ or before Jesus. Tell them your story before Jesus. What was your life like before knowing Him? What was it that you were living for? What was your life centered on and all about? So before Christ. Also, then the next thing you tell them about is about encountering Christ. What was it that led you to Him or drew you to Jesus? What was going on? What were the circumstances in your life at that time? How God was working in your life that led you to Jesus and what was taking place when that happened? What has your life been like since Jesus? Okay, your story since Jesus. How has life changed for you? How have you changed as a person? How has God worked on your heart or brought about different things in you? And then along with the story of before and encountering and since Christ, be sharing with people about what Jesus is doing in your life today. So today with Jesus, right? Today with Jesus. That's your best story. Being prepared to share that story before Christ, encountering Christ, since Christ, and today. What is He doing in your life? He's challenging me with this. He's giving me the strength and the courage to face this. He's walking with me through these circumstances. Or maybe I've been discovering lately this about God. Okay, so that is your an idea for how you can share your best story. Now, I want you to watch a video. I was going to share my story in this format, but I like this video better. Well, I mean, that didn't come out right. I like the idea of just watching someone else who's kind of neutral from all of us. And I want you to listen, as you listen to it, it's a cool story that she has to share her testimony, this girl named Ashley, I believe. And but see if you can identify, what are those three things, or four things, their best story before encountering, since, and today, as she shares. Okay, so take a listen. All right, cool story, right? A really cool story. And you can see some of these elements in there. Before Christ, what her life was like, what was going on with the pursuit of men and different things to fill that up, the encountering Christ that happened for her in a moment when invited to church and hearing that message. Since Christ, how she's realized and seen transformation in her life, and then today how that's playing out. So a lot of different aspects of what's going on there, all right? And you have that opportunity to share that story too. One of the reasons that I really wanted to show this video is like you get a picture of her life in 2 minutes, right? It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be long and dragged out. But can you share your story? So it is important to be able to tell it and to tell it well. Because when God opens that door, you want to be ready to share your story. Okay, so that's the first thing we should be sharing. Share your story. The second thing we should be prepared to share is the gospel. The second thing we should be prepared to share is the gospel, the message of Jesus. Okay? Another short video that I want you to take a look at here. So that's how you share the gospel. You just pull out your best rapping tone like Lecrae. He just makes everything sound cool, right? I don't know if you listen to Lecrae. I don't that much, to be honest with you, but that's cool. I mean, it's just really cool. Now, maybe most of us wouldn't share the gospel quite like that, but we should be able to share the message of the gospel, okay? We should be able to share it. John 3:16 is a passage you're probably familiar with, or at least you've likely heard. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, verse 17 and 18 right after that say this, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Okay, so it's a picture, a story, a few verses talking about the gospel. That's kind of the essence of it there. We're in a world where people are without Christ, and that puts us as enemies of God and being in a place of looking forward to nothing but condemnation. But Jesus came to save us from that. God gave him for that reason, because he loved us so much. Okay, so there's a few verses there. Just if you ever want to memorize a passage of Scripture, that might be a good one as a basis for how you can share the gospel. But here's the thing. A good explanation of the gospel should convey a few things. And I encourage you to jot these down. We'll keep this up for a little bit so you can do that. Okay? It should convey a few things. First of all, God loves us. God loves us. And it might seem to us, especially, you know, these songs that we sang about God's great love for us and what Jesus did, it might seem to us like that's just a common thought, a common thread. Don't overlook sharing the fact that God loves the people around us with them. A lot of people have preconceived ideas or wrong ideas about who God is. He's the God with lightning bolts ready to strike us down, wanting nothing to do with us. They wonder why he would allow so many bad things to happen in life or in their life specifically. And so he must not care about them. He must not like them. He must not love them. But the reality is that God loves us incredibly. He has this deep, deep love for each and every one of us. And we need to make sure we can share that and communicate that first. Second, though, is that sin separates us and condemns us. Sin separates and condemns us. So God is perfect and holy. We've fallen short of that perfection. and holiness. We can't measure up. No matter how many good things we do, it's never going to help us to reach God. No matter how good of a person we can be, it's never going to help us reach God. Now, he knew that, and so that's why he sent Jesus. And Jesus' sacrifice makes a way for us. His sacrifice makes a way for us. Jesus was fully God and fully man. He lived this perfect life, but he gave it up. He died on the cross as a sacrifice for us. He paid a price that we couldn't pay to make a way for us to be made right with God. But then the last thing is that faith in him is what saves us. Faith in him saves us. So Jesus' sacrifice made a way for us, but salvation is a gift that we have to receive. It's not this blanket thing that happens. Oh, Jesus died on the cross for sin, and now we're all good with God. That there's an aspect of us putting our trust in him and choosing to be a follower of Jesus. That salvation is a gift that we need to receive personally. It's something that we need to do for ourselves. So faith in him is what saves us. Okay? So here's one more example of just simply sharing the gospel, another gospel story like that. Take a look at this next video. Okay, again, very short, very simple. An opportunity to share the gospel can be like that. There is only one gospel, but there are many ways that we can share it. And I think it's helpful to know a few different ways to be able to communicate the gospel, because people that we encounter, they aren't all the same, right? They're going to respond to maybe different ways. So provided with you for you the outline, the extra sheet this morning, we're not going to talk through all of this, but just a number of different ways that you could use to share the gospel. The Romans Road, which is simply pointing out some Bible verses through the book of Romans that walk us through the gospel and the importance of Christ. The four spiritual laws is a typical one that people have used for a long time. Gospel, which, by the way, if you look up gospel like that on YouTube, you'll find some pretty cool spoken word stuff that kind of matches this, but it's just the idea of each letter stands for something we should remember. God, our sins, paying everyone life. And then the bridge diagram, which is simply that we're God designed us, created us, wants a relationship with us, but we're separated by this huge chasm of sin. If we try to leap that chasm by ourselves, it only leads to death. If we're going to trust in our own works to get us to God, we'll fall, we'll fail, we will die. The end result is that. But Jesus has given his life to bridge that gap. And if we put our faith and trust in him, we can be made one with God. So there's a couple of different examples there. I would encourage you to check those out and consider that. The important thing, though, is that we have a way to share the gospel with someone that we're able to communicate it in a way that works for you. And yet, if we can learn a few other ways, different ways of communicating the same truth, it might be helpful for those around us. You never know what's going to be the most helpful thing. So be prepared to share the gospel. Okay, that's a crucial thing as well. So be prepared to share your story, be prepared to share your gospel. The next one is be prepared to share an invitation. An invitation. Little analogy here. Let's say there's this amazing party that's going down next weekend, right? It's going to be off the hook, the biggest party of the year, and you're going. You're going to be there. Bob's probably throwing it, by the way. All right. Off the hook. I don't know. That Lecrae rapper was coming out in me, you know. So, you know, influences. All right, so there's this big, huge party. You're going to it. You're talking about it with somebody at work, though. And they're hearing about it for the first time. Now, unless they're one of those uninhibited free spirits who will ask anything of anybody at any given moment, they probably aren't going to go, oh, that sounds great. Can I come? But they want to come, right? They're going to feel weird asking, though, so they don't want to invite themselves. And if it was someone else's party, you'd probably be a little hesitant to even offer that to them or tell them where it's at, because it's not your party, and you want them to come, but But maybe first you got to go check with Bob, who's throwing the party, and make sure it's cool with him before you invite someone to come that he doesn't know about and that sort of thing. Well, in regards to Jesus, in regards to the gospel, you have insider information on the biggest party in the entire history, of the universe. Now, don't leave someone hanging. Tell them how to get to the party, right? Give them directions. Tell them how to get there. And so, what does someone need to do to become a follower of Jesus? The Bible talks about two primary concepts, repent and believe. Those are the words that are used, repent and believe. Repent is about turning. Turning, yes, from sin, from the things that we do that are wrong, but also turning from ourself, like ourself being our own God, and instead turning to Christ. And then believing, and not just believing, like knowing that this is what Jesus did, right? Like knowing in our head, but it's a trusting in what he did. So repent and trust. Those are two important things. Believe that Jesus is God, that he's the Savior and ruler of the world, of the universe, of everything, all right? That's the idea of repent and trust. So here's a simple way of maybe explaining that to somebody, and just often referred to it this way. It says ABC, simple as ABC, right? A, admit your sin. Admit your sin. You've fallen short. You're not perfect. You messed up. God is perfect, but we're not. Most people wouldn't claim that they're a perfect person. It'd be easy to say, look, I know I messed up in life. I know I made mistakes. I know I'm not perfect. And certainly if there's a God out there who's perfect, I've fallen short of that. So we just admit that. We just admit that. The second thing is believe in Jesus, that he is God, the Savior of the world, the Lord, the ultimate ruler over everything. That's who he is. Admit our sin, believe in Jesus, and then choose to follow him. Put your faith and trust in him. And again, that last part is really important because, again, Jesus' death and resurrection doesn't just wipe out sin automatically. We have to put our faith and trust in him. It's something we must each choose for ourselves personally. That's why you often hear people talk about having a personal relationship or making a personal commitment to follow Jesus. It's because it is a personal decision. We can't do it for anyone else. We can't make that happen. It's got to be something we choose on our own. So, become a follower of Jesus. You need to admit your sin, believe in Jesus, choose to follow him. A, B, C. But once you've told them how to get to the party, you should invite them. Invite them. Check. You don't have to check with the big guy upstairs to see if it's okay. He wants them to come. He wants them to know Jesus. And he wants you to invite them, so invite them. Ask them directly, is making a decision to follow Jesus something you're ready to do today? Is this step in your spiritual journey, coming to be a follower of Jesus, putting your faith and trust in him, something you're interested in doing? Invite them to come. Give them an opportunity to respond to the gospel, to the invitation. Now, if they say no, okay. You know, you don't have to be mad about that or whatever. They're just maybe not ready at this point in time. But you can simply ask, hey, are there any other questions that you have that you'd like to talk about sometime? Or could we get together and talk about this more at some other time? Keep the door open to further conversation. You never know when God tugs on their heart in a way that they're ready to respond. And if they say yes, that's cool, then you simply need to help them speak with God. And so that brings up the last thing we need to be prepared to share, a prayer of response. Be prepared to share a prayer of response. Most people who are not followers of Jesus or maybe haven't been around church a lot or that sort of thing are going to need a little help getting started. So just simply let them know, hey, prayer is just simply talking to God. It's just simply talking to God. He hears them. He knows their very thoughts. He knows what's going on in their heart. So, you know, if you think they can handle it, just invite them to pray right out loud to God and say, you know, do you want to pray on your own to do this? And maybe you could encourage them to pray those ABCs. And just praying, admit, Jesus, I admit I messed up and I've fallen short, but I believe that you died on the cross for me and I thank you for doing that. Today I choose to follow you. I put my faith and trust in you. Very simple prayer. Now, if they need to, you lead them in that prayer. Okay, you can lead them. Just, hey, If you're not sure what to pray, why don't you just repeat after me? Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I open the door of my life to receive you as my Savior, to receive you, recognize you as Lord. Thank you for forgiving me and for your gift of eternal life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. I just invite them to repeat a prayer after you. Don't pray the whole thing and then expect them to review it all back, but just step by step, sentence by sentence, right? Now remember, and thanks for hanging in there. I know this is a bit long this morning, but we're wrapping up here, okay? So remember, the right words aren't the important thing, right? It's not a magic formula. The prayer that someone prays is not a magic formula that gets us right with God. It's about what's going on in our heart, and God knows that, right? So the pressure's off. Just speak to them. Help them to talk it out with God in that moment of surrender. So four things you should be prepared to share: your story, the gospel, an invitation, and a prayer of response. Now, I know as we close today, you're probably going, okay, that's cool, but there's some apprehensions, there's some fears, there's some things going on. I'm going, that still feels a little weird for me to do, or whatever it is that's going on. Hang on to that. We're going to talk about those things next week. And I would encourage you, if you do have specific things, but what about this? But what about that? But what about this in sharing the gospel? Please shoot me a Facebook message. Send the church an email this week, because we'd love to address those next week. We've got a few that we're planning on, but maybe you have something specific you'd like to hear about. I'd love to know that, okay? And then we'll be talking about overcoming some of our fears and hesitations next week. But being prepared to share is one of the big ones, because if we're not prepared, it's going to be hard. So I hope that what we've talked about today helps you prepare for an opportunity to share the gospel with people around you. I hope you're maybe a little more confident in what you can share. But let me encourage you, as you go, take the time to write these things down. Take the time to write these things down, especially if you're in a connection group, as Rachel mentioned earlier. These are going to be things we talk about this week. So take the time before then to write these things down so that you can be prepared to share. And in fact, if you need to, rehearse them a little bit. Practice them. You know, give yourself an opportunity to do that. Write down your story. It doesn't have to be 6 pages, just a little half sheet, you know, a couple of paragraphs. Tell your story. Write down the gospel. Write down an invitation. What is it that you would do to invite someone to follow Christ, and how would you pray with them if they needed your help? Okay? Take some time and be prepared and ready to share it. I do believe this. If we are committed to praying for God to open doors to spiritual conversations in our life, He will do that. But we need to be prepared for when that happens. So that's why we're talking about this morning, okay? So if you have other further questions, again, send an email, Facebook, talk to me afterwards. I appreciate you guys hanging in there. I hope this has been helpful for you. Let's pray. Let's stand. We'll pray, and we'll head to snacks and head out this morning. Father God, as we've covered a lot of territory this morning, we just recognize that all these things can be just a formula for us if it's not coming from our heart. And we want that to be the case. I want that to be the case for each one of us this morning, that as we consider our story, we're just filled with gratefulness for what you've done. And that we would want to share that story with the people around us, because it's an amazing thing that you've done through Jesus in our life. As we consider the gospel, the message of hope, the truth of Jesus and what he's done, again, it's an amazing thing, and our hearts need to be wrapped around that, that we could share it with others. Help us to be ready and prepared to do that. Help us to be people who are inviting others and willing to lead them in prayer. In a moment of response, helping them turn their hearts toward you. God, that's our desire. That's the heart of all this. We don't want to turn it into just a step-by-step checklist that we do. We just want it to be something that we're prepared to share when you open a door
for an opportunity to share these things. And we pray you be doing that. We pray you give us opportunity and that we would feel confident in what you want to accomplish when those opportunities come, and that we'd be prepared to share the greatest story of all, the truth of Jesus, and inviting others to come into that story. We ask for you to be with us this morning as we go, as we prepare, as we do our homework, as we take the next few days to consider these things for ourselves personally. And lead us back here again next week, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.